For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
This is the Happy Hour.
You guys know the Happy Hour?
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America.
Yeah, maybe I'll come for a couple.
Here are your hosts, Nick Sainert.
I am a huge guy.
And Enrique Alvarez Cleary.
C is for chunk.
Brought to you by Empire Fence and Netting on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome in. Happy Tuesday. This is the Happy Hour, 93.7 The Ticket, theticketfm.com. Hopefully everybody's recovering after getting the late night alarm. I know I'm on my third cup of coffee, or I was on my third cup of coffee. I featured an extra shot in all of those because not only did I struggle to get to sleep, I struggled to get back to sleep after the alarm. At about 11:55 last night for the folks on the south side of Lincoln. Folks more fortunate enough, like Rico on the north side, did not get an alarm.
North side?
You did not get an alarm, which is probably good because you would have a lot more to wrangle together to get down to the basement with children.
Kids aren't here. They're at...
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
you're not with kids this week.
They're at cousin's camp up north, so they were fine. But
is this an annual cousin's camp thing?
They want to make it an annual thing. They did it last year. They're doing it again this year, so I think it'll be a thing where it's
second
just,
year
just a week where we're just like, here, take the kids.
Which is great. And it's perfect because it's a shorter week.
Exactly.
So you guys get to go up there on Thursday, Wednesday. You can see him tomorrow.
So I don't, as far as I know, we didn't get an alarm. We might have.
You do not miss it.
I was out.
I will say this.
I didn't wake up to the storm.
Well, normally I don't wake up to storms.
I was so tired.
I just went through the whole spiel a couple of weeks ago about how like I got to be concerned with not waking up during storms.
Yeah. You don't. Yeah. That's a problem.
So it is impossible to sleep through that phone alarm.
I don't know about impossible.
It keeps going unless mine kept going until I turned it off.
I mean, I've never let it keep going. I always turn it off
because it's woken you up.
No, when I'm not asleep, when it goes off. Okay. Next time that happens, I'm just going to let it go to see how long it goes.
It goes for a while.
But it's very loud and annoying, so I don't know if I'll be able to.
That's my point. It is almost impossible to sleep through that thing. So anyway, that was what we agreed with at 11:55 last night.
So fun.
And then there was the whole like tornado warning till 12:15 a.m. And so it's like it was like one of those things where it's like you feel like you're out of the you're in the clear. So I was sitting there at the place at 40th and Yankee Hill area. And I was like, and they said, you know, confirmed tornado 6 miles south of Lincoln heading east at first of all, I thought I was misunderstanding them. It was like less than 30 miles per hour moving, like 30 miles an hour. And I'm sitting here going, man, we're going to be here for the long haul. This is going to take a while to move through the area at 30. Because normally you're used to, you know, 65 miles an hour. It's moving pretty quick. Last night was kind of slow. But
no. If it's just sitting there, I feel like that's more dangerous.
I would think so, too.
Just sitting there over your house.
Box neighbor says mine never went off. Slept through the whole storm and sirens like a baby. Yeah. I don't know. There were some people that didn't hear sirens. I heard the one. We have one close to our house. We also have the one that's close to, like, to Costco. And I heard the storm. It didn't stay on very long.
No. Do we live like, is Nebraska now a tropical paradise? Well, not tropical and not paradise, but is it like a jungle? Because it will not stop raining. Is this Seattle? Is this what it's like living in the Northeast, Northwest? Northwest.
Northwest.
Yeah, the Pacific Northwest. Is this what it's like? So, because if it is, I don't like it.
Let's check out the good old weather.
Anybody that's moved here from the Washington, Oregon area, please tell me, is this what it's like all the time? Maybe not the flooding. Which I hope everyone is okay and that long lasting damage has happened to anybody. Because it's been nuts that 48th Street, the like overpass, underpass, whatever on 48th, where you go underneath where the trains go, just filled up with water. And that if we stayed in the old state studio, that's where I usually go to get to work.
Oh, okay.
So I would have had to have found a new route.
So Craig makes a point on the text line. Nothing went on in the 14th and Fletcher area. So that's near you.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean,
shout out to Northwest Lincoln.
So like you and Austin were exempt from this.
Sorry, dude.
Myself, AD, if Raph was in town. I know DP wasn't exempt from it because it hit downtown.
He's got like the little hill where by where he lives.
Yeah. I don't know. It was a little nerve wracking, right? Like I heard the storm when I went to sleep and I got to sleep fine. But then I wake up at 11:55 and then I struggled to get back to sleep. So the coffee's been Nick's best friend today.
Nick got me a coffee. I
did.
Appreciate you.
Unintentionally got you a coffee.
Thank you.
Ordered the wrong thing.
It's pretty good.
So here we are. 402-464-5685. The Honda Lincoln Hotline, the Starter Hammond text line are both open for you guys. The entire show today. Got a good one lined up. We had to reschedule a guest, so kind of switching some things around. We're going to break down Nebraska's defense. Nebraska gets a commit in the form of Jeremiah Jones over the last 24 hours and obviously has a chance to play either offense or defense. And I was looking, reading through this Phil Steele's magazine. It's been something that we've referred to quite a bit over the last couple of days.
Phil does a lot of work.
Phil fills up the pages. And with Nebraska football, obviously the defense is probably the more consistent side of the bunch when you look at Nebraska football. Obviously 11th in total defense last year. Graduates a couple of guys, but when you look at that interior defensive line and that defensive line in general, it feels like this could be, and some of the national pundits are even saying this, one of the best groups in the country in terms of defensive line. And one luxury that Nebraska has not been able to have as of late has been the ability to get to the quarterback. Like the last guy, we say it time and time again, really the last guy that Nebraska's had, whether from the inside or from the outside on that defensive line, to consistently get to the quarterback by themselves was pretty much Randy Gregory, I suppose.
Yeah, the last consistent pass rusher that Nebraska's had was definitely Randy Gregory. They've had guys who have had moments, who have had flashes, but nobody who's been able to sustain it for an entire season or even without the sack numbers, just the pressure numbers like Randy Gregory since he's been donning a Nebraska uniform. So what Nebraska's been able to do or what they were able to do with this defensive line is something that we talk about a lot, especially in the Big Ten, is getting old and staying old.
Yeah.
You've got the two super senior defensive linemen with Ty Robinson and Nash Hutmacher. And then you've got some of the younger guys on the outside in Prince Will and Cam Lenhart, Kai Wallen,
James Williams.
James Williams. That's what I was trying to think of. So you've got some of the younger guys out there who, again, flashes of what they are able to do, but it's really those two interior defensive linemen moving Ty Robinson from that defensive end spot to a defensive tackle-ish spot. Those two on the interior are going to be crucial in Nebraska having one of the better defensive lines, not only in the Big Ten, but in the country. At least that's what the national pundits are saying. If you can get pressure in the middle, that's going to open up a whole new world of possibilities for this defense.
Well, and a name we forgot to mention, Jamari Butler.
Yes.
We forgot to mention Jamari Butler. Riley Van Poppel is a sophomore now. Had a little bit of experience last year as a freshman. I believe he played in 11 games last year as a freshman. Riley Van Poppel?
Van Poppel was one that got a stop on the in the red zone, like at the goal
line.
That is
correct.
In one of the games.
That is correct. Number 94 for Nebraska. Obviously, then it's like, you know, you still have guys like Elijah Judy that you hope can maybe break through a little bit more. I just think like Nebraska's defensive line.
The depth there is really impressive,
yes,
especially for a defensive coordinator, a defensive line that likes to sub a lot. You saw that a lot last year where you're not having guys, and I don't know if some people like this or if they don't like this, but you're having guys who aren't playing all three downs, you know, for the defense. They'll play maybe the first two, they'll come out on third down, or they'll play, you know, second and third down. They won't play first, or they'll play first. They'll come out for second and third down. And it's not, sometimes it's a scheme thing. Sometimes it's just keeping fresh legs and being able to attack the offensive line with guys who aren't tired, who haven't gone, you know, 7 snaps in a row in one series.
Nebraska last year, for just to refresh our minds, Nebraska 11th in total defense last year, 9th in rushing defense. Their rushing defense was not the issue in a predominantly running league that the Big Ten is. Nebraska was relatively successful, 92 yards allowed per game on the ground, good for top 10 nationally through 12 games.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
They were sandwiched between Ohio and Louisville on the national rankings. The passing defense was where Nebraska struggled a little bit, and I think it wouldn't be wrong to assume that that might be the case this year. I think you could argue that Nebraska could take a step forward in defense. I think also there was something to be said about last season. Nebraska's offense put their defense in some very inopportune situations, whether that was turnovers. And Matt Rhule talked about it with Joel Klatt yesterday when that thing was released about how it was minus 17 on the turnover margin. I think, do we still have those pulled up by chance, Rico?
I can pull
them up. So, because Matt Rhule mentioned and talked extensively with Fox College football analyst Joel Klatt about the turnover issues. And Nebraska was minus 17. And we obsess ourselves so much with complementary football. And this is going to kind of all work into our next segment when we kind of talk about the offense specifically. But when you look at Nebraska, so often last season, Nebraska's offense was failing at whatever their goal was. In this case, it would be to score some points. And whether that was because of turnovers or they lost the field position battle, didn't have a great special teams unit last year, they were fine. But when you look at their punting and kicking, it kind of took a step back from what it was in 2022. So when you look at Nebraska, they kind of put their defense in some tough situations. But Nebraska's defense bowed up and a lot of times got some stops. Matt Rhule talked about the turnover issue. Nebraska minus 17 last year. Here's what he had to say yesterday to Joel Klatt.
Yeah, you know, I always love when Phil Steele's magazine comes out every year. And one of the things he uses to predict success the next year is usually close losses lead to close wins, and turnovers usually lead to turnarounds. Yeah. Like let me tell you this right now. If we are minus 17 again this year, I'm gonna be playing golf. Okay, they won't have me back as the coach, and they shouldn't. Like, because it was a phenomenon that just kind of built on itself, and so obviously I didn't do a good enough job, but we won't be that this year. And again, that you talk about building, how do you do that? I think you just don't panic. You go through that year and you say, okay, guys, listen, if we just fix a couple things, we're gonna be a really good team. And so, I know we'll be better on offense. We were really good on defense.
Yes.
We were pretty solid on special teams. You know, we don't take into account enough in the Big Ten the weather. People think it's, whatever. No, there were games where it was 30, 40, 50-mile-an-hour winds in our face two quarters a game. And so I adapted as the year went on. I kind of really watched Coach Ferentz. I told him last night, you know, I know Nebraska and Iowa are idols, but I look up to Coach Ferentz and, like, how he played the field position game. And so now we enter year two. We'll be better with the turnovers. We have a better idea how to win in the Big Ten. Now the Big Ten's changed, but we have a better idea with most of the teams and how to win. And our players now, most importantly, you know, a lot of people don't transfer out of Nebraska. Most of our guys want to stay and be a part of it. So we have a lot of guys who are there during those moments
who will make
the different decisions this year.
He makes an interesting point about guys transferring out of Nebraska. Not a whole lot, right? But I think there's a lot to unpack there. And first off, it mentions, you know, if Nebraska's 17 or minus 17 in turnovers or has a similar year, he'll be playing golf next year. And he's like, and they shouldn't let me back as the head coach. I thought we do hear about the weather so much, and that means that you have to prioritize and truly think, okay, at the start of a game with coin tosses, how do we want to defer? Which direction do we want to go? And not that this staff, I think, didn't think about that last year. He even said that he adapted as the season went along. I think part of it was that Nebraska offensively, especially, wasn't equipped. They just weren't. And maybe they are this year. Maybe they're not. I think it starts at the quarterback position. And actually, I know it starts at the quarterback position. And last year, the play was streaky at the QB position. I think so much of that Wisconsin game where Nebraska was in the driver's seat. And second half, when they went against the wind and Nebraska, don't forget when they had the wind at their back in the start of the game, Chubba Purdy was able to throw that crossing pattern to Jalen Lloyd, and he took it to the house for a touchdown. But man, and I saw it firsthand sitting up in the press box at Memorial Stadium last year, whether it was against Purdue or whoever it was, Maryland as well as one that comes to mind, where it just you sat up in the press box and Nebraska and their inability to move the football when going into the wind was something that it was like, man, this is somewhat concerning because Nebraska might just not be equipped. And so the fact that now Matt Rhule brought that up, you look ahead to this year and you feel not only with the depth at maybe the offensive line, not only the depth maybe at other positions that we're going to talk about in the next segment, but specifically at the quarterback spot.
And the problem was
there's
twofold.
A little more stability.
Yeah, the problem was twofold a little bit because you didn't have a quarterback who could throw into the wind, who could complete those passes while also not having a running game outside of your quarterback. Yeah. So when you're going into the wind, not only can you not pass the ball, but you can't run the ball. So when your quarterback drops back to pass, the teams are like, okay, he's going to run it. Like he's not going to throw it. So it was twofold there. And then, like you said, at that quarterback position, getting some type of stability, getting a quarterback who is going to be able to sling the rock accurately and with some more touch is going to open so much more up for Nebraska. And yes, you'll still have to worry about the weather and find out which direction you want to go to start the game, if you want to end with the wind, if you want to begin with the wind, however you want to do it. Having somebody behind center who can throw the ball is going to open up an entirely new possibility for you.
It feels like Nebraska at times, I mean, we know this from watching the Huskers for years, the margin for error is so slim, and it felt like Nebraska more times than not made errors last season that forced the defense to have their margin of error or margin for error even smaller than it already initially is. And that's just, I mean, that's what makes last year's defensive performance and numbers maybe a little bit more impressive. But also this year, it gives you kind of an optimistic idea or feeling around it without trying to drink too much Kool-Aid before the text line gets mad at us. It gives you this, you know, optimistic type of feel to where, okay, now if Nebraska's offense is able to maybe extend drives a little bit longer, what does that mean for having a defense that's a little more rested, right? Especially when you talk about subbing guys as much as they do defensively, whether that's in the secondary or up in the box. But then also when you look at the defensive line and to make it come full circle, when you look at that defensive line and it's guys like Prince Willem Umanmielen or Cameron Lenhart or Robinson and Hutmaker, Jamari Butler in there as well. When you look at those guys and say, yeah, you know what? We're going to allow Ty Robinson and Nash Hutmaker to have 5 minutes of game time on the bench or to just take a breath, or even if you can extend a drive and say, we're going to be able to give them 8 minutes of game time, which in reality is probably 12 real time minutes, saying, yeah, you know what? Go ahead and take a load off. Go ahead and rest for a moment, man. The potential there for Nebraska's defense. I'm not saying that this is going to be a top 10 unit. And maybe we infatuate ourselves too much with the numbers of like Nebraska was the 11th best in total defense last season. But also that eye test piece, it's got to go hand in hand.
And
Nebraska had a lot of that bend don't break mentality last year.
Yeah.
But if they can just have it to where they don't even bend, well, then guess what? I think this is going to be a pretty successful football team this fall.
I don't think the ranking number is as important as the average number, the average number of rushing yards, passing yards given up. Because if you think about it, they were top 10 in rushing defense. And you look at the defense that they have returning, the guys that they did lose, it's going to be different. It's always different year to year. But in terms of rushing defense, they should be again, a very stout unit. I'm not going to put a number. I'm not going to say, oh, they should be a top 10. Yeah, they should be a very stout unit in rushing defense again. And in the passing game, with what you just said, being able to, if your offense is able to extend drives and give your defensive linemen, your two stars on your defense, your two star defensive tackles, more time to breathe, meaning they can go all out more often on the defensive end and not have to, again, not saying they are, but not have to take a little bit off when they're trying to get to the running back or get to the quarterback, that is only going to improve the defensive numbers because you have those two in the middle causing havoc.
I think that's a good spot to put a pin into it. Let's take a break. When we come back, let's dissect offense a little bit. 402-464-5685. Your thoughts are appreciated as always on the Sartor Hamann Jewelers text line, as well as on the live stream, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Allo Channel 961, all those places for you guys to get in touch with the show. Let's step aside, come right back, talk about the offense and maybe what that could look like. I also want to go take a trip down memory lane. We'll do that coming up next on the Happy Hour.
Follow Nick and Enrique on Twitter at @Nick_Seinert and at Radio Rico AC. More of Happy Hour is next on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.